Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Let's do it.
All right, we have a big deal that happened this week. Like, pretty unexpected.
Yeah?
Yeah. Patrick got eliminated.
Right? Like big shocker of the week.
I could not believe it.
I mean, yeah, okay.
Nothing else.
Undertaker came back, but we were talking about that last week. Like, we had already talked about it.
But you know what? The internet ruined that.
I don't know if it ruined. Like, it was still, like, I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, but imagine if you had no idea that that was coming.
Yeah, it probably would have made that a whole lot better.
Yeah, it would have.
And, like, there was a question that I asked you while at the beginning of the championship match, where I asked you, like, what would be worse, if Lesnar and Taker, that whole thing, like, just didn't go well or whatever, or just nothing out of the ordinary happened at all? Like, how pissed would everybody be if all these rumors were swirling, and yet all we got was, like, a regular, like, authority run-in or something like that?
Yeah.
Like,
that would have been...
That would have been awful.
That would have been a bummer.
That would have been Royal Rumble 2015.
Yes.
Fan reaction.
Yeah, exactly. So, but... Okay, so here's the thing. So, once you knew that Undertaker was coming back, like, ahead of time, the thing is, that still ended up being, like, a super entertaining 9-minute match.
It was. It was not quite as one-sided as, you know, obviously, Kofi versus Lesnar, or even Cena versus Lesnar.
Well, that's the thing. You know what? Here's the thing. Cena versus Lesnar is magic I don't think they can really recapture.
Right. Because, you know, there's no one else that's going to be on that level of WWE hierarchy.
Right.
Than John Cena.
And so the vision of watching this guy get decimated so thoroughly, I don't think you'll ever get with anybody else.
Right.
Also, seeing Brock Lesnar dominate so thoroughly, I don't think you'll ever... You can't go back to that. And that's fine, you know, that's like, okay, that's fine. It's nice to see him pretty much dominate still.
Right.
And so, but that's the thing, is like, usually when there's that kind of thing where, like, you know there's going to be a run-in, and in this case, when you know who it's going to be,
right,
it's a big waiting game.
And I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a lot better than knowing that run-in's going to be J&J Security or Kane. Like,
right.
This time it's like, all right, we're going to get another run-in with this Rollins match, but at least it's going to be Undertaker this time.
Yeah, you know? Fair enough.
Should we just go ahead and talk about that match since we're already there?
Yeah, okay, we'll go to that match, then we'll go back into the rest of the card.
Fair enough. The biggest complaint I had about that is that there was no mention of, or not even, like, showing any concern from any of the commentators that, like, what's going to happen with the championships, like, and, you know, or anything, and they disappeared. Yeah. Rollins and the referee disappeared.
I am pretty sure.
And I get it, like, it's the story of that moment was Undertaker is back.
Yeah.
That is the big thing. I get that. That's what everybody's on everybody's mind. But even I was like, even while they were going back and forth, or Taker was doing the tombstone, I was looking around, I was like, there's no referee.
Yeah.
Like, I figured Rollins would have hightailed it, sure, but there's no referee to be found. Like, where do they go? Because that was a very quick gong to gong.
It was. That was impressive. Like,
right. And I even watched it, like apparently when we watched it, the network kind of skipped ahead, like, a second or two or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I felt like it was gong, gong. Like, I was like, wow, that was super quick.
Yeah.
And I watched it back a little bit longer, but not much.
But still, like, pretty impressive.
For a guy who's 50 years old, and I'm assuming under the ring, getting up and being in position.
Yeah.
But then again, he's kind of used to it.
Yeah.
He kind of knows himself that way.
He knows how to do it.
Yeah.
It's not his first rodeo under a ring.
True. So I would have just liked, and even if, like, someone was like, what's going on with the championship? And someone was like, there's no time for that. We'll talk about that tomorrow night on Raw. Like, that's a good lead-in. Or something along those lines. Probably.
Yeah.
I'm sure they could come up with something more creative or better to say. I don't know. Because it sets up and yet another Battleground championship match that is technically still going.
No, not this time.
Fine.
They definitely concluded the match.
Did you hear a bell?
I didn't hear a bell.
There you go.
But they...
So you're... Okay, so Lillian Garcia is the end-all, be-all authority of what ends... Or who ends a match.
Well, the declaration was made, and they went through, and the winner was Brock Lesnar due to outside interference.
Right, which is fine, because that meant we both got the prediction right, but that's besides the point.
Exactly.
Like, that, actually, I think that's exactly what my prediction was.
So that's the thing, is that because of... Because they took the time to announce it and to raise the arm, the match has to be over. The bell just rang while you weren't, while the cameras weren't rolling.
Yeah, no, I'm not buying that.
You gotta.
You got that one, and you got Battleground from what, 2014? I think it was last year where Big Show interfered. And the bell just never rang.
That bell never rang. That match is still going. I'll give you that.
They never even addressed it.
I'll give you that. I'm going to fight for this one. I think this match is over. They declared a winner. They took time to raise an arm. That this match has been decided officially. It's in the books.
Fair enough. So I guess we should go back to the beginning of the show and just cover the card. We had the kickoff show. King versus King. Kind of guess, whatever.
Fine.
Barrett won. Who cares? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you start off the real show.
Actually, hang on.
Okay.
Is there anybody, I'm really curious, is there anybody who is, like, really excited or really invested in these kickoff shows? Like, it was such a cool idea when they started out. Like.
Well, yeah, because they were putting on decent matches.
But like, the
sometimes. Schools, well, sometimes we're like championship matches, or
it was the special thing that you got to see. It was like usually on YouTube before the network existed. Mm-hmm. Like it was a YouTube thing where you go ahead and see the kickoff show. But just like at this point, it feels so whatever.
Right.
It feels more blow off-y than usual.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. I'm curious if there's anybody out there. The kickoff show was kind of this last-ditch effort to, like, grab that last handful of pay-per-views.
Right.
Or pay-per-view buys. And I don't think it is that anymore.
Like, yeah, I mean, now it's just like, you know, if you don't have the network, sign up within the next 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? I did see something pretty dumb today, actually. I watched the beginning of NXT. Okay. Wasn't able to finish it because my internet at work was unusually sucky. They had a commercial for the network. Like, join today. Go to WWENetwork.com. Join today for the network. And I'm like, seriously? I'm there already. Calm down. Like, I'm not getting, like, somebody who's like, well, NXT is shown on TV stations, like, overseas.
Yeah.
Sure. But you know who has the editing power to do that? WWE. They can easily be like, okay, well, this is the feed that's going. And I get it. Like, you don't want to have two different shows for two different things. You just want to do one for everything and just that be it. But you open yourself up to a lot of...
Part of it is like...
Insults?
How many things do they have to advertise? They got SummerSlam to advertise. They got the network to advertise. They got t-shirts to advertise.
Yeah, I know.
Once you've done that, you just kind of circle through and start over again.
Yeah, right. And they still have to have those commercial breaks because, like I said, they show it on TV overseas. Yeah. So you still have to have those commercial breaks. Fine. And I get you only have a finite amount of commercials that you can run when you're, you know, going through your own network. And yeah, every single one of them is, you know, hooray network. This is the pay-per-view coming up. WWEshop.com.
Yep.
That's it.
And a very occasional where we made this documentary.
True.
Okay, so what's the actual starting match?
The actual starting match was Randy Orton versus Sheamus.
Randy Orton versus Sheamus. Very nice of them to go ahead and kind of...
Get that out of the way. It's like, this one was, hey guys, Randy Orton's, this is his hometown. Ain't really got much of a feud, you know, but... Here you go,
yep.
Kind of thing.
Yep.
And I figured, like, and see, the problem with that is, if that is your mindset going into the match, because we all know it was, if that's your mindset going into the match, you typically, it's like, all right, Randy Orton's going to go over, and he's going to go over big. Like, he's going to make his opponent look like a fool.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a highlight reel for Randy Orton. his hometown boy. At the same point, they're like, yeah, but it's Sheamus. He's our Money in the Bank. We don't want him to look weak. So you kind of get, like, these guys that are just out there.
Yeah.
Kind of fighting. And it's one of those things just, like, and leading up to it, the feud between them is Sheamus would come out, and you would get Michael Cole and be like, Randy Orton doesn't like him. End of feud. Like, that's it.
You remember when these guys fought, and it was a match that invented the let's chant for the announcers when we don't like what's in the ring?
Yeah, no, this was the origin.
Yeah.
This is... Okay, for a couple of guys who have absolutely no chemistry between the two, this match wasn't terrible.
It was better than I expected a Randy Orton and Sheamus match to be.
Which is a very low bar.
Yes.
Because every time they're in the ring together, I get angry.
Yeah.
You know? I typically, like, I don't condone fans trying to get themselves over, and we've had that discussion time and time again about, you know, what should they chant, what should they not chant, responsibility of the fan, whatever, blah, 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 blah. That moment, I was all for it, and like, yeah, no, let's chant for everyone else, let's let them know we don't like this, we don't want this, please do better, and next thing you know, we get that same match like a few months later.
Yeah.
And now they got a feud against each other.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is I got nothing for this.
No.
It's not...
If they had a story, maybe, that was compelling, but...
It's not for a title. It's not for any sort of... there's nothing here that makes me interested or excited. It literally just... And that's the thing, like, I know it is. We gotta have Sheamus on the card. We gotta have Randy Orton on the card because they're big names. But it shouldn't feel like that's the reason they're on the card.
Right.
So, that's how you stop being
especially,
a big name.
You know, since like the first half of the last month, Randy Orton was on vacation.
Right. And come back to something big, something exciting.
Right. Not saying that, you know, Randy Orton's bringing a whole lot to the storyline table when he comes back, because, you know, the guy can't really do a promo for more than 3 or 4 minutes, which is fine, because that's his own little, you know, this thing.
His personal struggle.
But then that leads for the feud to be resting on the shoulders of Sheamus,
which who also is worse.
Yeah, he also is not very good at promos as far as like being compelling.
Yeah,
he doesn't like, you know, he's not a complete idiot, despite what we say about him. He's not gonna like just stammer all over himself the entire time, but he's not exactly reliable as far as compellingness.
Yeah,
that's not a word.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Surprisingly less terrible match than I thought.
Right.
Still a gross feud.
Surprisingly not sucky match is not a great... it's not a great rating.
Not a good gold star to stick on somebody's paper.
It's...
Surprisingly not sucky this time.
It's not exactly a bronze
medal. Don't let me see it again.
It's maybe a copper medal.
Yeah.
Maybe a tin medal. Mm. Next, we have the Tag Team Championship match between Primetime Players and New Day, with Primetime getting the win. I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
I enjoy New Day. Yeah. You enjoy New Day.
Yeah.
Okay. I enjoy Xavier Wood and his antics when he's not wrestling. Yes. I'm okay with him in the ring as well. Do you think Xavier Woods is too much as far as out of the ring?
I it hasn't bothered me.
Okay. But then again, we're also, like, watching these pay-per-views and stuff with Beardsley, who's the loudest human on the planet.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all get to talking about other stuff anyway, so a lot of these undercard matches, we're not exactly watching and listening to everything that happens.
I am. I'm a consummate professional.
Joel. No. Just don't even try. But... I did see a couple people, just people that said that they like Woods, they like his antics, but he's like his voice is at 11 the entire time with very few moments in between.
Okay, here's the thing. At worst, Xavier Woods is drowning out the commentary.
And that's not necessarily a bad
thing. So, like, that's the thing. It's like, you know what? He doesn't have a microphone. He's not...
That's kind of impressive, actually.
He's not getting, like, promo time.
Yeah.
They're not stopping the match. They're not taking up time on the card for him to actually
Although talk. They do tend to cut a promo on their way to the ring.
They do. But, like, I think what people are complaining about is what he's saying during the match.
Well, it's not necessarily like what he's saying. It's just like he's so loud and he never shuts up. But again, he's a heel and that's his strength. Like,
yeah.
What else do you expect? The one annoying thing, like, and I noticed it a couple times in the pay-per-view whenever you watched it, it was like he would say something and you'd be yelling it at the ring announcers. And of course, Jerry Lawler's going to sit there and repeat it. And I'm like, Jerry, trust me, we heard it the first time.
Yeah.
Now I see, like, if it's like a John Cena's come over to the announcers and said something and you can't exactly make out what he's saying and then they'll repeat it. I get that. But not necessarily.
But Mr. Woods knows how to project.
No. Now, I will say this. Xavier Woods sitting on the steel steps, getting like a child and like swinging his feet around while Big E beats up somebody from the Prime Time Players is the best thing I've seen in a long time from an entertainment standpoint.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
No, I really have no problem with them.
No.
And
as far as the match itself, other than like a couple botches here and there, it was good. Like the one thing about any feud with New Day these days, it makes me sad about Tyson Kidd's injury because anything involving New Day, I'm like, they had such great matches with Team Uppercats.
Yeah.
You know, and I really felt like they had a little bit more between those two teams.
Yeah, I think
that's so. Yeah, you can't do anything about injury. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
It's just, it's one of those things that kind of just, I enjoy them, but I wish that they were going up against Uppercats, you know?
That's a pretty standard wish, I think. Yeah, like,
sure, absolutely. You know,
but I think Prime Players are doing good, they're doing fine. Yeah. And, I mean, they retained the championship, so yeah. Maybe they're less of a placeholder than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, I figured they weren't exactly placeholders. They're one of those guys that's like, they took them so long to get the championships.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping they would have a longer reign with it.
Yeah.
And so far, so good.
There you go.
Next, we have the Bray Wyatt versus Roman Reigns. Bray wins after interference from a surprise return for Luke Harper. Here's the issue I have with this. It wasn't a bad match, okay?
Okay.
It was very. I would give Roman Reigns this. Since the events of Royal Rumble 2015, RIP. Roman Reigns has been very consistent.
Yes.
Not great matches. Not bad matches. Very like better than good.
Yes.
Or around good. Around that.
Good to good plus.
Yes, there you go. And so, my issues with this match is you had a feud between these two guys that was very personal coming from Bray Wyatt. Like, Bray Wyatt brought out the big guns when going for the promos, going for the juggler against Roman this past month.
Yeah.
You start off the match. Okay. A guy like Roman Reigns, you sit there and you say all these things and you involve his daughter. Okay? You have a chance to be like, hey, you're going to have an excuse to lay your hands on this guy as soon as this bell rings. As soon as this bell rings. What are you going to do when that bell rings? You attack the crap out of that guy. What do? They lock up.
Yeah.
You know, you have a regular match. And, I mean, some people have said that it's probably because of the Ryback injury, they had to take that match away. So maybe they were given more time, and they were like, hey, we've got to leave some in the tank. Because the last half of that match was really good.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the big strong point was for, like, the last 6 minutes or so. It's just, it was a good match. It didn't fit the storyline. Because it was his real first chance of getting his hand on Bray.
Right. Okay, all right. That's strong point.
Okay.
I do think... I'm in agreement that, you know what, Roman Reigns has done everything right since WrestleMania. Like,
right.
he's tried his hardest to get back over with the fans. I think he's done pretty admirable job.
Working, like, he's still trying to find his footings with the fans.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because most guys go their whole careers before they finally get
right,
to that
yeah.
point.
And I don't think...
It's not an easy fix.
I don't think anybody's still booing him because of Royal Rumble. I'm sure there's the one guy who's that guy who's
probably,
doing it.
Probably sitting in Philly, yes.
But nobody's, you know, that's not an issue anymore.
Not in my book, at least.
Yeah. No, I would not hate to see him in the title scene within the next 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, given the right circumstance, like, given the right build.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you know, at Royal Rumble, I'm like, no, he's close. He's just 6 months to a year shy of...
Well, see...
And it's been 6 months, we're going on a year, right. So, like...
When is Roman at his best from an entertainment standpoint? I feel like he's at his best from an entertainment standpoint when he's with Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
They're buddies. It comes out. He's a little bit more relaxed when it comes to, like, promos between the two of them.
Uh-huh.
As far as, like, you know... Or even in matches, like, loser buys the beer, and they're like, yeah, sure, whatever. That was a cool moment whenever they
were doing that. I did think that was a cool moment.
Right. And... I wouldn't be, if it led to like some sort of build towards a triple threat between the former Shield members, mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind seeing a Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns tag team for a little bit, you know, just take over the tag team division for a while and build that. And then of course, eventually they'll turn on each other and triple threat.
Okay.
Or something along those lines.
I wouldn't hate that.
I would want to, like, I would hate it from a Dean Ambrose standpoint. Like, he needs to be at the top.
Shot to the moon.
Yeah, shot to the moon by himself all the time, 24/7.
Yeah.
But for the greater good, because otherwise you run into the case where Dean Ambrose isn't on the battleground card.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of those guys that they just don't know what to do with.
Yeah. Right now. The thing is, you get a situation where WWE views, for better or for worse, they seem to view the tag team division as guys that can't make it on their own.
Or guys that they don't... guys that they believe in, they just don't have anything for a while.
Right. So you get things like... You get a lot of guys who have struggled to make it on their own.
Right.
Like Big E.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of guys like Kofi who they've decided... Kofi can't make it as a singles wrestler.
Right. He can only make it to a certain level, or when they need somebody to hold the Intercontinental Championship for like 2 months.
Right. So you get a lot of that. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, how much of those guys benefited from the tag team that they were put in?
Those guys specifically have.
Yeah, I mean, specifically, like, you have Kofi, who's turning out to be a better heel than a lot of us thought he could have been.
Yeah.
Because we just didn't know, because he'd been a face this entire time. And you got Big E, who finally seems to have, like, because he's just, like, been a guy who just didn't have that last piece of the puzzle yet. And now it's like he's finally kind of, like, fitting into where he needs to be.
Okay, but the thing is with a Dean and Roman tag team, mm-hmm. they're both beyond what WWE considers tag teams.
Because they did their time with S.H.I.E.L.D. And that's they found themselves within S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's the thing is, like, yeah, first of all, if they're a tag team, will it feel like an awkward, not quite the S.H.I.E.L.D. situation?
Yeah.
And
But then again, like, they've been doing all these, like, SmackDown main events and Raw main events together.
But what I'm,
so it's like they're kind of already there.
What I'm really scared of is that they are going to, if they put them together... All right, you guys are a tag team for a while. Hold the titles, really elevate our tag division, and then move it back up. WWE's got this super selective memory where they'll be like, yeah, Roman's been our guy. Roman's always been the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dean Ambrose will be like, oh, he was one of those guys that was a tag team guy. And,
right, yeah.
And that's how it'll be viewed.
No, see, that's why, like, the thing that I'm proposing with those two is, like, you're put together as a tag team specifically because we're building to something else later on.
Yeah.
Because of, like, and just build from that tag team that they're in. Putting them together just to put them together, yeah, that's a waste of time for everybody. It's basically an excuse to find a spot on the card for these two guys that they really want to be on the card somewhere, but they just don't know where else.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Roman would benefit from that if there is a end point. Which is very rare with WWE these days,
mm-hmm.
especially if we're talking like months ahead of time. That's the only situation where I could see that would work.
I'm pretty much ready for Roman to be champion when they decide to pull that trigger.
Just to get it out of the way.
Well, if it was closer to Survivor Series or to TLC, that really kind of feels like a better time.
Right.
But it's... I kind of feel like he's served his time for winning the Rumble.
Right.
Like,
he served his penance and he got his lights knocked out at WrestleMania.
Yeah, he kind of did what he had to do. He's done his best. Mm-hmm. I think he has shown tremendous improvement. I do think he could loosen up a little bit on the promos, but I think he is pretty slick in the ring. I think he's really tightened those screws.
He's shown improvement. His ring psychology has gotten a little bit better, except for, you know, this last match that we just talked about, just because it didn't match the story, but that's a whole other thing. Yeah.
Well, part of it is...
I would like to see a little bit more diversity in his moveset.
Yeah.
You know, because he still seems pretty formulaic. You know, a lot of clotheslines, a lot of Superman punches, and spears, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes it works for me, sometimes it doesn't. Here's the thing, like, if I'm in a certain mood... It's, you know what? Roman Reigns is the guy that does a lot of hitting.
Right.
You know, like Brian's a grappler submission guy. Roman Reigns is a hit you in the face guy.
Yeah. A brawler kind of.
Yeah. And so there'll be days where I'm like, yeah, I can get behind that. And there'll be days like, it's like three moves. Come on, dude. Mm. And it's really on me and not Roman, man. So like, that's the kind of thing where I'm like, I can only so much. Yeah. If he had some more stuff, that's great. But part of it is like, slowly building that over time. I don't want him to come out with an entirely new moveset.
Right.
Because that's how injuries happen.
Yeah.
So.
I completely agree. Let's move on to the triple threat match. Charlotte versus Sasha Banks with Brie Bella in there somewhere.
I will say the Divas match lasted longer than the main event on this pay-per-view.
Yeah. And this one was like 12, 13 minutes.
And to note, they had two Divas matches the next night on Raw.
Yeah, they did.
So, super guarded, cautious optimism.
Again, yeah, that's like what I said last week when we were talking about these NXT women coming up. And I was like, guarded optimism, guys. You know, they still, to put it on the frame, they still played the Total Divas theme at the end of that segment. So it's like, just, you know, don't... They're headed in the right direction.
They are.
I will say this. I heard somebody say this. I can't remember exactly who. They said, I want to see them actually revolutionize the Divas division and stop talking about it.
Yeah.
Because they really do hit that point like every show since last Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. Like, it's a thing. It's the whole...
it's the give Divas a chance
thing. Give Divas a chance thing. Like, I get that. Your casual viewer is probably sitting there like, yeah, you know, sure, give them a chance, but I don't really care that much.
Yeah.
You know, because these casual fans have been, I don't want to say indoctrinated, but it's kind of that same, like, they're just taught to not really care about it because WWE hasn't cared about it until lately.
Yeah, I think, here's the thing, I don't want to diminish anything that has been done, because it's...
No, not at all.
It's all been improvements.
If this is the way it begins, they've taken some great first steps.
Yeah. Some things just to be aware of, they've had three matches between these little triplet teams so far. Charlotte's won two of them, Sasha Banks has won one of them, so Becky Lynch hasn't won yet.
Right. And I mean, again, like, I know Becky Lynch was injured, so I'm assuming either she's still kind of nursing that injury or they're just being cautious with her just yet.
Like, yeah.
And that's totally fine. I'm completely okay with that if that's the reason.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like three matches in two nights. That's not a That's not a big deal, but I don't...
But even like, even on an NXT thing, like, the big names in their division is Charlotte and Sasha Banks. I get that. And Becky Lynch is just kind of there to even things out in there. Even though we love her, we know that she's capable of so much more than that.
I get that. But here's the thing. Those those nine, even Nikki, those nine mm-hmm. are your main diva superstars.
Yeah.
Your cannon fodder is Summer Rae, is Eva Marie, is Rosa. You have the cannon fodder. None of these nine can afford to be cannon fodder.
Right.
So. Yeah,
because these are the you know, unless they change kind of the diva's structure, like, you're going to have kind of a rotation of girls coming into challenge for whatever title, you know?
Yeah, that's the
and
thing
that,
is,
and these are the girls that are your legitimate threats
yeah.
to the title.
That's the thing is, that's you have, the thing, yeah. Yeah, you can't revolutionize a diva's division with two good divas trading the title back and forth. We
right.
had that for years. We had Paige and AJ trading the title back and forth. We had AJ and Caitlyn trading the title back and forth.
And even go back to Lita and Trish.
Lita and Trish. Natty and Beth Phoenix for a while.
Yeah.
Like, we've had a pretty steady stream of two fairly good divas just and trading the title back and forth.
Yeah.
If you're...
And see, that's the thing, like...
Revolutionizing a division... You need all nine of them to be credible threat, impressive
right.
wrestlers.
And see, that's the thing. Like, that was part of the point that we were making with this whole give Divas a Chance thing. Months ago, whenever that started being a thing. Yes, I felt even back a few months ago that once, at least Charlotte, whenever she came up, the Divas division will be changed for the better.
Yeah.
You know, my big fear was, you know, she's going to come out and she's going to do... have better matches, but they're still not going to be given a whole lot of time.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, I feel like everyone had that fear. But at the same point, I'm like, if you really want to revolutionize the Divas division, you give them chance and you give a better spotlight to the Divas that you already have on your roster. Because you're not just going to, you know, you have contracts for a reason. You're not going to clear out the entire roster for these NXT women that are coming up.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to work with what you've already got, including... these new girls, you know, and that's what you're saying. Like, these are your nine main divas.
Yeah.
You got to build them every once in a while, give them Rosa Mendez or something like that. Like, just something good match or an easy match, something to make the top nine
right.
look good.
Yeah. That's the thing is any one of these nine should be able to get the title without it feeling weird and awkward.
Without feeling like a stretch.
That's your main event diva scene.
Yeah.
Is those nine.
Mm-hmm.
So, they all need to seem credible.
Yeah. Like, and it's getting to the point where it's like, I'm just ready for them to just let Sasha, Charlotte,
yeah.
and Becky, like, just let them loose and just...
I mean, that's the thing.
Let them do what we know they're capable
nobody,
of.
Nobody looks uncredible yet. This is being aware.
Right.
So this isn't a complaint yet, but it's being aware. And you have to be because we've literally had this same problem for years now.
Right. And now we're starting to see them trying to move in the right direction. And so far, so good. But in this Ziggler society,
yep.
guarded optimism is best so you don't get your hopes up and crushed.
Yes.
From then, we have, if I'm not mistaken, John Cena, Kevin Owens. I don't know if it's probably match of the night, even given the way it ended. But that's one of those things, just like, I don't even want to say that because of the fact that Kevin Owens tapped out to that. Expletive, STF.
Here's the thing. I have spent... I think it's fair to say, I spent a month now...
Defending.
Talking yeah. about how Cena has been...
I'm just going to put my mic down.
Cena has been really this, like, this superstar of the year contender. Everything he's done, positive. And to watch... all of that go away in a single move is almost artful in its self-destruction. It's so...
Okay, you're getting a bit experimental film.
It's so... I can't fathom how they came to this conclusion. First of all, okay, we'll get the fact that it was the STF and your personal disdain for the SDF.
Right.
And not just yours, a lot of people's. Mm-hmm. And it genuinely harkens back to CM Punk losing the title to the People's Elbow.
Right.
Where you sit there, you're like, I knew he was going to lose, and if he just lost to the Rock Bottom, I could sleep a little easier, but it was the People's Elbow, which is a stupid move, right. And it makes it the worst. Because, it's a bigger sting.
Because here's the thing. We know, like, John Cena's got to look strong going into SummerSlam, regardless of who his opponent is. We kind of know who it's going to be now, but we know, like, John Cena's got to look strong for the Big Show. We get that.
The Big Show SummerSlam, not the Big Show the Wrestler.
Yes, correct.
Don't scare me like that. Sorry. I was like, you just read some rumor that I didn't know about yet, and you've ruined SummerSlam.
You've got to build John Cena up for the next big event, because SummerSlam is the WrestleMania of the summer.
Yes.
And especially since they're trying to build up that network and not have people, like, cancel in the very next month, because I'm sure, because those numbers are going to come out soon, for how many people canceled after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
This is the first WrestleMania without a 6-month commitment, so that's going to be interesting. So, in a way, like, they're really trying to build this up so people will come back and get ready for the fall and carry them over. So you got to have Cena looking big, assuming he's going to go for the World Heavyweight Championships, because he's got to look like a legitimate contender.
Mm, we'll get to that in a second.
Sure. And there's a way to do that, and they literally did that right before the STF, and that was that second rope AA,
yeah,
which is, you know, kind of John Cena's go-to end out a feud.
That's his new finisher, since finishers don't count anymore.
Right, because, you know, at the end, like the last 5 minutes or so, this match did kind of, like, dilute into, you know, a spot fest.
Yeah.
For all these big move after big move after big move. Because at that point, where else do you go?
Here's the thing. It's the third match after two of the best matches of the year, match of the year contenders.
Absolutely.
And I get that you're going to struggle with that. And that's fine. I totally get that. You're struggling to come up to a match that compares to those first two. But so much of what has been good about Cena and about how Cena's been used was just stripped away. Cena, one of the best things about Cena with this whole U.S. Open Challenge was Cena was never the underdog. The worst part about Cena in his entirety is he's always cast as this underdog.
Right.
He's always,
now he's professing he's himself to be the king of the mountain, come and knock me off.
Exactly. He is not overcoming the odds anymore. He is this dominant champion that's swatting away the competitors. But the second that this Kevin Owens thing comes back, the story that's being told reverts straight back into Cena has to overcome the odds.
Yeah.
Cena, what's he? Multi-time world championship.
I don't know if he's up to the Ric Flair 16 yet, but I know he's
I think he's at 15. Yeah. Your 15-time world championship face of your company is the underdog against this guy who is fresh out of NXT on his very first feud.
Yeah.
And it's just not, and to tell that story is preposterous. And to come here with the idea and the notion that it's anything but is insulting.
Just a bit, yeah.
And then the thing is, and like all the other good stuff about Cena was taken out on the ringside after a match and didn't show up on Raw,
right?
And because of injuries. And you're like, that's great because, you know,
it builds up Owens as a,
well, the thing is, like,
threat.
That's the move that took out Sami Zayn.
Right.
And to have, you know, to have the same move taking out Sami Zayn have no effect on Cena 24 hours later, it undermines the move, it undermines Kevin Owens as a powerhouse, it undermines Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
And so, but then to come out of his third match, which should be his most grueling, you know, a basic story building, your third match in the feud should be the most grueling, the most impossible.
Especially if it's going to be the end-all be-all of this feud.
Yes. And to have him come out selling nothing, getting a chatting fest with Seth, we'll get to that in a second, and to end it with him goofing off in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing is, you know, and it was funny, him and Randy kind of buddying around when you remember their history, and it's weird and kind of funny in a way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, he should, like, limp a little bit.
Yeah, and here's sell a little bit the day after.
Yeah, here's the thing. Kevin Owens, I said it at the time, Kevin Owens, if they keep going the way they're going, and Kevin Owens keeps going the way he's going, Kevin Owens is going to be Superstar of the Year.
Right.
And the way he was built, he should be. Kevin Owens should be the Brock Lesnar that they get to bring in every week.
Yeah.
The way he was built in NXT so instantaneously, the way he came onto Raw and so thoroughly took on John Cena without blinking. Kevin Owens is your how do we stop this monster heel that you don't have to pay out the nose for like you do for Brock Lesnar.
Right.
He's great. He's this Brock Lesnar light. And then you have him tap.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. So theoretically, tapping should not be a big deal in, you know, in actual, like in a UFC fight or in a, you know, any sort of thing. Getting somebody to submit is along the lines of I've outmaneuvered you and I've got you in this position that forces you to tap. It is an outmaneuvering thing, not a you are weak thing.
Right.
But it is in WWE. Then that's a little bit Cena's fault because Cena is the never give up flag waver. And so the you are weak if you tap out situation.
And again, of all moves that are the most ridiculous that everyone hates the most, SDF is the one.
Yeah.
It is the one.
And so, to put the cherry on the top of this whole thing is, so, the next night on Raw, they're doing the whole feud with Lesnar and The Undertaker, and they sit there, and they gather the locker room and says, it's on all of you to make sure that this happens. And it's a little, like, Goofy's like, this one match is more important than everybody's career in this room.
Guess who was in exactly that crowd? Kevin Owens.
Mysteriously missing is from, you know, the save crowd is John Cena and Randy Orton and Roman Reigns and all these guys that they're, you know, protecting. But Kevin Owens is there palling with the mid-carders, not being able to keep these two superstars apart.
Right. But to be fair, if I was a wrestling fan turned wrestler and in that locker room and you heard this was going on, I'd be like, I want to be in that segment because that sounds fun and sounds cool and I want to be a part of it. Because that was kind of, I did enjoy that. It sold intensity to the max.
I enjoyed the segment. The segment sold Lesnar versus Undertaker better than I thought I could.
It sold their rematch better than they sold the WrestleMania.
It did.
Because WrestleMania, it felt...
Well, part of
aside from, like, the pin stabbing through Lesnar's hand, which was kind of like, all right, okay, that's weird. But other than that, like, I wasn't really too sold on it.
Part of it was, like, it's become increasingly impossible to build a feud for Taker at Mania, because, you know, it's going to end in undefeated streak.
And Undertaker is Undertaker. Like, he's going to be that character, kind of that stoic, you know, figure.
Yeah.
And then you got now where Undertaker's chasing. Mm-hmm. Like, Undertaker is
wanting
to hunt this guy down.
The entire match was...
It's an intensity I haven't seen an Undertaker have in a long time.
The entire
WrestleMania match.
The entire match was sold in that, I'm going to kill you, you're going to have to. Like, that that one exchange, and I'm like, all right, I'm done.
I couldn't think of what Taker's reply to that at first, but yeah, that was incredible. As soon as he said that, I was like,
That's your exact thing. I don't need those guys to be on the show anymore.
Right.
I'd like one pre-taped interview from each of them on separate weeks, and then a contract signing on the go home show that dissolves into another one of those kerfuffles that we saw.
Yeah. And also it's a very little thing that I don't think is a little thing, but other people might think so. I typically hate those kind of segments where two guys just hate each other and they need the entire locker room to break them up. Because usually it always is like, all right, you're holding me back, and now I'm going to break free magically from all you strong guys and attack the other guy. And they'll keep doing that. Like, it's the same thing. Like, keep breaking out of their corner. Or, like, Big Show, everyone's piling on. Oh, they're piling on. And then magically emerge out of the cocoon. And it looks so cheesy and so awful. Lesnar was, like, just finding a hole and getting out of it. And then finding the easiest way to get the Undertaker. Yeah. Like,
when he went out the ring and
when around. When he was, like, ducking underneath the ring. He's like, ha, found the door. And he, like, just ran around, hopped over, and just found the easy, like, the shortest distance to Undertaker from the rope.
Yeah.
And went that way. I was like, because he's a fighter. He knows, like, it's what he does.
Yeah.
It was incredible, and I loved it.
No, it's great. That was a great build-up.
Yeah.
In fact, Kevin Owens was in it was a little sad.
You're right.
But it was – no, that's incredible build-up for that match. So we've got one exciting match. But then we get to the Seth Rollins and the John Cena thing.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Like in my hope of hopes, heart of hearts, that was a little bit of a time filler, a little bit of we need –
yeah,
Papa Cena.
But now we're getting
to come
all
out
the
and,
quote unquote insider reports that they're going for it.
So is that are they going to unify the titles?
I don't think so. I don't.
So what's happening there?
I think it's just gonna be a World Heavyweight Championship match, and they just it might be a thing. It might be a Hulk Hogan Ultimate Warrior thing where both titles are on the line.
Yeah,
and whoever wins it gets both, and then ultimately. You know, that person's going to fight just exclusively for that belt and he loses it, or whatever. You know, something along those lines. I don't think they're necessarily going to unify them. And I think the only way that they would is if they were unifying the U.S. belt, the Intercontinental belt.
No.
At least that would make sense. You know?
I mean, by unifying, I mean both titles are on the line and the champion comes out holding both for about a month and then that U.S. title
just goes
kind
away.
Of mysteriously vanishes.
Yeah. And see, that was the thing. I was just like, if they're going to unify them, the only way that they got out of the last time they were wearing both belts or two belts was, oh, we've got a new logo, so we need a new belt. And then that kind of, retconned the heavyweight championship out. He was like, I don't think they're going to come up with a new logo anytime soon.
Here's the thing.
They kind of just got this one.
Cena is going to be champion again at some point. And I'm fine with that. I think Cena should be champion at some point. In all honesty, Cena...
he's going to break Ric Flair's, right?
Yeah. But that's the thing. Is like he's tying Ric Flair's record right now. That... once Cena breaks Ric Flair's record, I don't know when you'll get another break-the-record storyline.
Right.
This is like the street match where, like, you can't just do another street match next year. It takes 20 years to build up to a match like that. You know, it's going to take several years for somebody to get a chance to tie John Cena's record years down the road.
Right.
And so Cena's tying Ric Flair's record should be the story of that match. Will he do it? Will he be able to finally clinch that 16th win that ties, you know, with Ric Flair? And to put this... here's the thing. If Seth Rollins' streak, like if his time with the title comes to an end at a John Cena match, like...
yeah.
Oh, that's... I don't know. It just feels so icky.
It's a good time for J&J to come back, I guess. You know, like, otherwise, how else are you going to get... you can't get another, like, mystic figure to show up and have Rollins disappear again. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just... I don't know.
Hey, let's worry about that when SummerSlam gets here.
It's just,
you know,
I understand, but it's been two nights, and John Cena has gone from like genuine
that you're okay with defending,
yeah,
and to even pile it on even more, just gave up on the U.S. U.S. Open last,
yeah, no U.S. title,
yeah,
which is the thing, like
that's the thing he said he would do,
yeah.
I mean, yes, I'm okay with him and Randy Orton putting over Cesaro. I get that. I'm okay with that. I appreciate that. But at the same time, you're not going through with your U.S. Open champion or U.S. Open match. Yeah. So what gives? Even Seth Rollins called it like was like, I guess you're out here to do your U.S. Open. Here's your ring. I'll leave it at that. And John Cena's like, no, I want to crack some jokes.
Yeah. So it's just. Here's the thing. You know what? I knew we were going to go back to square one.
I knew
we were.
You were just waiting for it to happen.
Yeah.
Wishing we had more time.
I was wishing we had more time, and I was wishing it wasn't at the expense of Kevin Owens. Like, yeah. That's the thing is, like,
we felt like this was, like, a good, interesting thing to have John Cena have to do during the summer, and yes. Then he's going to move on to something else, and it wouldn't be necessarily...
Somebody, the impossible trigger to pull is somebody besides Brock Lesnar can beat Cena.
Yeah.
In a feud. Not just a match, but in a feud.
Right.
Somebody can walk away from Cena having beaten him in a feud, and Cena is not useless and worthless. Cena can go into his next feud with just as much momentum as if he had won the previous one.
Right.
And Cena doesn't lose feuds.
No, he doesn't.
And that's fine when he's doing the U.S. Open title and he's putting on consistently good matches, letting wrestlers have extended matches with him, looking really good, getting a lot of eyes. I mean, that's the thing. It's like one of the best things that you can do with Cena, a lot of people watch for Cena.
Right.
And they'll channel flip through the other wrestlers, the other matches, keep an eye on whenever Cena's out, you know, or maybe like Randy Orton or just the big names. And so Cena going up against Dean Ambrose, Cena going up against Cesaro, put some eyeballs on those guys that isn't there before. It's a good use of Cena. There's a lot of good you could still get out of Cena.
Right.
And you were, and they were, and it was fantastic. And... with the flip of a switch, flush all of that away.
Right.
For the sake of a tap out.
Yeah.
On that submission.
That being said, it all depends on what they do with Kevin Owens from here. Yeah, this one tap out doesn't necessarily just kill everything that he's done so far. It could, depending on how they book him from here, and now, you know...
Here's the thing.
Like, I don't want to say, like, Rusev has fallen victim to that just yet. Like, yeah, it did kind of, like, his entire gimmick was over. Now yeah. He's actually Bulgarian.
Yeah.
But it also didn't help that he was injured.
Yeah.
That, you know, he was injured, like, almost immediately after that. So, there's a way to, you know, go ahead and have Cena win. And the other guy not just completely flounder from there. But again, it all depends on how they book him.
There is...
And, you know, circumstances beyond that.
There is nothing... There is never a plan for... And then, when this guy loses to Cena, he'll move on to this.
Right.
That's never been on anybody's radar. And I have no reason to believe it's on their radar for Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
Which means they have nothing for him.
Mm-hmm.
Which means he's...
At least I'm hoping for maybe an early card Owens versus Cesaro match. You know?
Yeah.
But then again, he's got that championship, that NXT championship the night before.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a possibility they might even have Owens, like, off card. They'll talk about it. They'll, like, show highlights and stuff. But there's a chance they might leave him off the card.
Yeah.
I hope not.
I hope not as well.
But then again, Kevin Owens has a lot, like we were talking about that before we started the podcast, Kevin Owens has a lot of loose ends he needs to tie up as far as rivalry goes, because he's like having rivalries with like three guys on the main roster, and then you got NXT.
This, like, quick rundown, he's got Finn Balor.
Yep.
He really pretty much has Sami Zayn still. That's not ever been wrapped up.
Nope.
Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
He took out Hideo. So that's four.
It's alluded to that he took out Hideo.
I guess, was the Alex Riley thing tied up?
I mean, Alex Riley himself is tied up.
Yeah, so I guess not that one doesn't count. But
he took himself out, but yeah. Or he didn't take himself out, but he's injured.
Yeah, John Cena definitely counts.
Kind of Rusev.
Yeah, he's kind of in it with Rusev and, what's his name now?
I
Sheamus.
Okay.
Also.
From this past Raw, yeah.
Yeah, so that's seven feuds. This one guy's in the middle of
seven people he's done pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah, like, I don't expect them to tie up all of those, but, you know, kind of like that was kind of
I'm telling you, thing. Hour-long Kevin Owens gauntlet match.
Yeah, against everyone, just so he can tie up this feud, all these feuds. I will say this, just a quick note. Like I said, I watched the first half or so of NXT. They have... Thank goodness they've changed Samoa Joe's theme music.
That's all you ever wanted.
It was so bad, and now it's much better. He still has that intro to his music, but after that, it's not that cool little funky, you know, let's get down kind of music. Now it still has a hip hop esque beat, but it's more serious. It feels a little bit like the same people that made Rusev's theme. But okay. More fitting to Samoa Joe.
Okay.
So, rest assured, things are happening.
Good. That's what was really important here.
Absolutely.
Do you want to say anything actually about Tough Enough before we wrap up?
I don't know. I'm getting frustrated with it. And again, like, Patrick wasn't necessarily my favorite, but I did realize that of everyone that...
that he should have won.
He should have won. He might not have been my favorite, but... He should have been the one. As far like he had in-ring knowledge, he had ability, he had personality. Even though I wish he would talk about something other than the WWE universe or whatever.
Here's
or
how the thing:
WWE is.
We're gonna give ZZ $250,000
that
he totally deserves, and in 4 years we're gonna see Patrick debut.
And ZZ's gonna just. Kick around NXT for a while and might make a main show appearance.
Yeah.
But he'll be on NXT at least. Yeah, no, it's not the wrestling reality show that we kind of liked with Stone Cold. But at the same time, that same format didn't produce stars.
Yeah.
You know, you had the one Funkadactyl who made it to the roster. Congratulations. I wouldn't call her a star.
No.
But we liked that format because it was a wrestling reality show that gave you – sure, it was a reality size, you know, hyperbole of what getting into the wrestling business is like.
Yeah.
But it was a lot closer than what we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing right now is some highlights from the week and the judges that see them – or the coaches that see them on a daily basis have no say on whether or not so-and-so deserves to leave or stay or whatever. What's being decided by are judges who are sitting there watching the same footage
that we're
watching, and that footage is relay races, it's gimmicky crap that has nothing to do with actual wrestling, and them getting voted off on just saying the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Yeah.
You know, which is pretty much what happened to Patrick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say he picked on ZZ, he yelled at ZZ and everyone...
Yeah.
And he might have gotten kicked off for it. They were trying to, like, be nice about it, but that's kind of probably what happened.
Well,
like, he doesn't like the guy that we like, so screw that guy.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think there was a little bit of split in the vote situation going on
right.
there. Because, like, if I were voting, I'd be like, well, Patrick is the safest, but I don't want Josh to stay over ZZ, or I don't want ZZ, you know, I definitely don't want Josh to, because he's my second favorite. I got to make sure... My vote's got to count for that.
I've gotten to the point now where I will, because I can't watch it live because I'm at work. I will check my phone because I have the Tough Enough app. I check my phone from like 7:50 or 8:50 on.
Yeah.
like, waiting for the vote to go live so I can see at least who's in the bottom three, and I will vote.
Yeah.
You know, and I will say, I voted for Patrick here. And I thought, out of those three guys, the Yeti guys, Josh?
Josh.
I thought he was gone.
I thought he was gone, too.
Out of those three.
Here's the
format has given ZZ and Sarah, you know, they it's given them the win, basically.
Here's the thing. So in talking about, like, so it's not a wrestling competition. It's not, you know, it's a reality show.
It's a reality show popularity.
It's a reality game. Yeah, today was the day to use your save.
Right. And I'm like...
And especially, like, you gotta speak to Daniel Bryan from him. It's like, you know, you have one save, and there were two guys you wanted to save, so you chose to save zero of them.
Right. Like, how does that make any sense? And for Hulk Hogan, who, like, only 2 weeks ago said, as far as I'm concerned, this game, this contest is over, Patrick has won.
Yeah.
Why not you? And then even Paige, I think, on Tough Talk was like, you know, basically was talking about Patrick, and we're both, like, we're all sitting there thinking, like, then why didn't you use the save in for him?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you put him in the bottom three to begin with?
Yeah.
When you're sitting there, you know, talking about how much you don't like these other people that you didn't put in the bottom three, then why don't you put them in the bottom three? Don't put them in the bottom three just to teach them a lesson so they'll be better next week, because you're putting in the bottom three, so there's a chance that they won't even be the next week, and that was the case with Patrick.
Yeah.
The whole show was apparently about humility, and Patrick showed absolutely none of it. Fine. Whatever. Find a different way to get the message across to him, because he's just playing a character just like everybody else in this show.
Judges included.
Like, everyone ramped up the... don't want to say the word that I'm thinking of because it's not PG. Catty, you know... just everybody's at each other's throat character. Like, everyone's playing that up.
Yeah.
You've seen that progression. Like, all these nice people that you met in week one aren't there anymore because they've all ramped this up.
They've learned what character to do.
Exactly.
And, like, yeah, and it's...
Because they know if they don't get noticed, they don't get screen time, and people won't vote for them.
Painfully obvious with, like, Sarah more than anything else.
Right.
Is she had maybe, you know, 8 seconds of screen time the first two episodes combined.
And... she got picked on for it, and now ever since she's had more and more amount of care and time. And finally, you know, yes, I'm glad she's finally sticking up for herself. She's finally speaking up. But I still see traces of her not wanting to go to that full catty side the way, like, Georgia. Mm-hmm. Nice, sweet girl at the beginning. Now she's like the main bad girl because all the other ones got
rid of the others.
And the other ones just. Like the most accurate thing Sarah has ever said is she called the other girl a sidekick. That's literally all she does.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, someone has a problem with her. She comes in like, yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, like, I'm going to keep watching, but I feel a little deflated.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely. And again, like, part of me, like, it's hard for me to be like, to say that this show isn't rigged, kind of thing, because if you wanted people to get tuned in, throw them a curveball. And this was the biggest curveball, is to vote off the one that we all kind of knew had it in the bag.
Yeah.
If this was a regular competition, and see, this is why you don't give fans the option to vote, because they're idiots. Talking to you, audience member, everyone listening to us, you're all idiots. You don't know what's best because you're. And here's the thing, you're making a misinformed information, and that's not necessarily your fault. This is what you're given in front of you, all these segments, all this footage, and it's not necessarily putting them in the best light.
Yeah.
So, that's why it should have been voted on and decided by people who actually see all the stuff, not necessarily the reality bits, you know, that they pick and choose. Because the camera's always rolling, I'm assuming. Or the majority of the time the camera's rolling. So, there's all this footage out there of stuff that we don't see,
yeah.
And then we have to get some sort of explanation from them if they ask during the live segments, like the stuff with Chelsea.
Yeah.
And like, oh, are you still hurt? It's like, no, the doctor cleared me. I've been in the ring past couple days, actually. It's like, yeah, well, we didn't see that because they pretty much had a wrap on the week because they have to put the show together.
Yeah.
But we don't get that unless someone asks that during the live
No, you're right.
Portions.
You're right.
So basically, all these people's dreams are being shattered by misinformed masks.
Chris, what is making you happy?
I made a video this week, and it was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun shooting it. Chris's Super Fun Game Tips is the name of it. It's on my personal account for right now. I haven't told Joel this, but I'm planning on also putting them up on Realm But Awesome's YouTube site once we get that set up and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, it's on my personal account, CWSanders39. I've got an earlier one. They're both about Rocket League. The first one, just kind of by myself, kind of a thing that I did at like 2 in the morning on a Saturday night just because I was, what else am I going to do? The one that we just put together and put out today was a lot more put together, a lot more thought went into it, and it's still stupid funny. Emphasis on stupid, but I still had a lot of fun. It was me and Dursley did it. A little bit of idea input from Joel, but I had fun doing it. I'm glad people are enjoying it.
Good, 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 good.
The one I'm talking about is the one called Making Friends.
Yeah.
Figured I should have mentioned that.
There you go.
What's making you happy, Joel?
Making me happy. Let's see. Wrestling related.
Oh crap! How did you think about that?
Wrestling related is honestly how ready to go the Undertaker looks.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I haven't seen this Undertaker since that that Triple H match.
I am happy to see Undertaker with a. We know he's never lost the passion for the business. Okay,
yeah.
he loves what he's done for the past two and a half decades.
But it hasn't really
come across because of how his character is portrayed. How like I said, yeah. How that stoic figure is these past few years.
It feels like Undertaker has needed a Shawn Michaels style retirement at some point.
Yeah.
That he can't take because of the streak.
Right. And now we're at the point where it's like because we always thought like. He's at the streak, or he's lost the streak. He's not. They haven't said he's retired or anything, nothing formal, or we haven't heard any dirt sheets or anything along those lines. So what does he do now? And we were kind of in a disappointed thing with the whole Bray Wyatt situation
at
WrestleMania, which is fine. It was just one of those things. Just like I kind of wish that he had just skipped WrestleMania 31.
Yeah,
and just that would add some of the mystique of why he was away for so long.
As good as he looked those past couple of nights, he just looked ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
He looked 110% there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, just
the fire in his eyes for the Raw segments,
mm-hmm.
even at the Battleground segment, it was just so refreshing to see that energy come out of him like that.
Yeah.
Once again.
So, yeah, that's what's making me happy.
Yeah, absolutely. That wrestling-related, I got to go with specifically the Taker segment from Raw. That was incredible. I enjoyed it. And it was incredibly simple. Mm-hmm. And it's something that they've done a bunch of times, but it's something that they did
also,
right this one time.
Also, R-Truth seeming to think that him and Brock are best friends.
Yeah.
I don't know 100% what up with that.
That's the most
but...
interaction with the locker room I'm sure Brock Lesnar has had in the past 3-4 years that he's been back in the company.
I just absolutely adored this idea that R-Truth seems to think like they are the best of friends.
It would have been funny if, like, especially whenever it kind of spilled over into the next segment when they came back from commercial. It would have been funny if, like, Brock was just, like, raging and, and then he, like, looks over and like, oh, hey, hi. I know you've been on the roster for a while. Brock Lesnar, how you doing? And just, you know, gives him a handshake and then goes back to being, you know, angry Brock, but we know Brock wouldn't do that because anger.
Yeah.
I do think it was funny how everyone ringside hightailed it as soon as Brock Lesnar. I was like, continuity, yes!
Yeah, I like that.
Michael Cole's first one's like, yeah, I'm
not
going to
do
here.
It. Nope, I'm gone.
And Byron Saxton's like, if you're leaving, I'm leaving because if you get hurt, I have to carry this show by myself again, and that didn't work out too well. And then JBL, of course, played it off like, I stayed here, you panties.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
No, I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRRetire. We live tweet Mondays, all appropriate Sundays as well.
If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those over to our email. That's classroomingattire at gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes, easiest and best way to follow the podcast. You look us up there, you give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review, that helps out the podcast.
And if you are listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
Don't forget, we're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow the podcast. Easy way to follow Chris and myself. Find out what else is going on.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.